Hey folks, welcome to another episode of 10 Laws Podcast with East Forest. Today I have on the show Camille Maureen. She is an author, a meditation mentor, a dancer, and an all-around super cool lady. And I've run into her a couple times. We saw each other at Bhakti Fest, and I saw her at 1440 University, which is where I met her and her husband, Lauren Roche. And I've just been really wanting to have a deeper conversation with her, so it was wonderful to have her on, and I'm confident you will really enjoy this. She's great. Got a lot of great insight, and I felt like the conversation just went in a really good direction. So before we get into that, just wanted to let you know that it is looking like on January 25th, 2019, we're going to have the first, the first release for the Ram Dass East Forest Project. And we're going to be asking folks to do like gatherings or events all around the world. So anyone, you could host an event. It could be with just your friend or a couple friends, or if you're feeling ambitious, you could make it more public and open up your house or find a space for people to gather. And it's going to essentially be a listening party, so we can listen to the first chapter, the first material that's going to come out with the Ram Dass stuff. And they're like micro teaching. So, you know, you can discuss this material. I probably will provide some additional maybe video content that you can use if you want. It's really, you know, you can do whatever you want. It's just an excuse to gather, and we're not trying to push too hard to say how you have to do it. It's just a reason for us to find the others and be with community, you know, have a potluck, do what you like. But I'm going to be doing one in that same spirit in Boise, Idaho, it looks like. Not quite at a point where I can tell you where that will be, but within days, I hope we can start getting tickets out there. But it's going to be here in town, and I'm going to be doing the same thing. We're asking people to gather, and we're going to listen. I'll probably perform a little bit, but then we're going to have a discussion about these subjects that come up in the songs and get further into these ideas, because that's what it's all about for me. And I hope for everyone, it's just sort of getting us to probe deeper and further this story together. And maybe we'll live stream part of that. So if you can't come to one or you can't host one, you might be able to stream in for that discussion and join the chat and see what's going on. So stay tuned. That's January 25th when that will start. And we'll start putting more information about that on social media and stuff. So that's a great place to follow along or just get on the mailing list. Reviews. There has not been a review in the iTunes for over a month. Come on, people. Show some love. Because I went on the stats for this podcast and just to be like, well, who's out there listening? And they have this new feature where you can see a map of where people have downloaded the podcast from. And I saw something I thought was pretty cool. I want to give a shout out to the two people in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, the folks in Tokyo, the one person in, was it Brusseltown, West Australia, our five homies in Dubai. We've got way up north in, is it Luleå, Sweden? I mean, Cape Town, a couple folks in Cape Town. I just love like that I can say, yo, to the one person in Brusseltown, West Australia, what's up? It's just such an amazing thing to think about the way this whole internet works and that our community can reach so far and so wide and such Saudi Arabia. I mean, that's super cool. Of course, all of our wonderful friends in the United States. I think we could use a little more love in Alaska, but you know, I've never been up there. So I'll put that on the to-do list. But it's a really cool, cool feeling to be standing in a room talking to a wall and then having that connect with my digital friends out there in the world. And what's even cooler is I go to events, I go to shows, and there's always somebody who's like, hey, you know, I've been listening to the podcast and I feel like we've been in conversation. And I'm like, totally. And it just feels like a little tribe. I'm totally digging that feeling. So if you have a moment, please write a review on iTunes or that's where most people tend to listen to this podcast. So it also says on the reviews. And they mean a lot to me, but they also really help people take that leap and listen. So it just takes a few minutes. You can also just click 5 stars. That also takes like seconds, but writing even just a couple words or sentences are super fun. I like to read them on the show too. In lieu of that, I got an email about someone who has discovered the Angel's Rest perfume oil, which I just restocked. So if you're looking for some more Angel's Rest or Toad Lick or other East Forest merch for the holidays, it's a great way to support me and my work, and it makes a nice gift. They said, my yoga teacher used Angel's Rest during class, and now I'm obsessed with that perfume and your music. Thank you, Jordan M. I love that perfume too. Rada wears it almost every day, and I can't get enough of it. That's why I just was like, I gotta make more of this. So that's all at eastforest.org if you'd like to check out that stuff. Otherwise, it is the dead of winter. We are moving into the solstice. There is snow all around me. It's barely breaking, freezing every day. And I'm finding the benefits of digging into the darkness as we move to our winter solstice on the 21st. I believe it's the 21st. Is it the 21st every year? I believe the solstices are always that, and the equinoxes shift around a day or two. Anyway, I hope you guys are using that time to, not avoid the shadow, but dig into the shadow and bring that love into that space and recognize that it's all part of our experience. It won't be long before we start heading in the other direction and we're in the peak of summer. And it's hot, 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 sun, 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 depending on where you are. But at least for where I'm based, it gets pretty intense in both directions. So it's a wonderful time to rest, to explore, to dive inside, to put on some music and see where it takes you, and to be creative and to be warm with yourself and others and to be thankful and grateful. It's what it's all about in the winter. Ways to not just fall into one side of it, but to allow it to engender and be a catalyst for the other sides of it, the yins and the yangs. So I hope you can do that. Okay, so we're going to get into this conversation with Camille Maureen. I really hope you enjoy. Thanks, Camille, for joining me.
My pleasure, Trevor.
So you're in Southern California, right?
Marina Del Rey, yes.
Oh, very nice. Is that the one with all the docks? And
yes. Uh-huh. We live right there. On the harbor and the entrance channel, right where they dock the big yachts. Makes us feel rich.
That's where you dock your big yacht, right? Yeah.
Well, not, yeah. Someday, maybe.
That's cool. Is that near Manhattan Beach?
No, it's next to Venice.
Oh, it's up there.
Venice Airport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, south of Venice.
Very mm-hmm. nice. Well, I'm happy we're getting some time to talk. We've just crossed paths briefly, and I ran into your husband, Lauren, sort of just serendipitously while you guys were at 1440, and we got to chit-chat and get to know each other, which was super fun. And I kind of wanted to get the other half of the yin-yang of your relationship and talk to you, because I know you guys do a lot of stuff together.
And we do.
Just looking even at your websites, I think they merge. Like the sites themselves kind of cross-pollinate, and you've done, retreats together and books together, but I want to see like what your side of this is. And just looking at what you've put out there publicly, it seems meditation is a big part of it.
And it also seems like there's a feminine focus to that. And I had some questions off the bat about that. But the first thing is, when I started talking to Lauren, I quickly realized his take on meditation, I won't say is not necessarily different, but well, I liked it. It was a fresh approach for me in the way we're looking at it. And I was curious if yours is similar or if you have something that's sort of your own. But I was curious, like, if you thought there's something that is going not necessarily right with, traditional meditation teaching or meditation approach, because it's such a hot thing these days. But most people see it as work.
Exactly, yeah. Well, thank you. That's a many-layered question with many multidimensional.
It's on my mind a lot, because I don't want it to be work, and I also don't want it to be something separate.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Wonderful. You're on the right scent. Definitely. Yes. Well, Lord and I met now 36 years ago. And what was stunning was the way that our integrative approach, we had each come to a very integrative meaning that it had grounding in a somatic, like somatic intelligence and energy understanding, as well as a certain psychological sense of integration. And then, of course, extensive experience, both of us, that continues to unfold and evolve in the inner practices, the actual practices of meditation. And I, for example, also started out in TM. I wasn't a teacher.
Oh, okay.
But I was a dance. I started dancing at the very same time that I started meditating, like a little bit earlier, actually. And then also doing yoga, like pretty much all concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally for me, all those fields were weaving together.
Right.
And in particular, the experiences that I was having in my own meditation got me curious about the internal dance going on. So most of my focus is on the actual dance of energy that we are. And that applies to everybody of all, like men and women, all ages in a certain way. There's how do we be so deeply in touch with ourselves and embracing all of who we are, including what is ordinarily called, difficult emotions or intensity, desires, all of that in my own journey, my own personal journey, it was absolutely clear that all of those had to absolutely have a way creatively to be embraced and, guess what, embodied and expressed. That's very different from acting those energies out. That's a secondary choice one can make, but it's so important not to suppress, repress anything that is moving in us, but rather how do I come to be with it so that it doesn't get submerged and then actually cut us off from our vitality, cut us off from the surge of life that we are, actually cut it, it's like within all of that is the movement of love, ultimately.
So where does the intersection between that and depression, do you think there is?
Well, depression, again, is multifactorial, and it's a very individual question, and sometimes people need a lot of support to get through that. However, I know just from tracking my own energies over all of these years, 46 years of inner practice. How old are you, Trevor?
I'm 41.
Whoa.
Well,
really?
So four more years, you get your like golden key to the universe, right?
So that, and also working with particularly women over these years.
Right.
So that's a big aspect of it. And I am going to answer your question. That the importance for us, particularly for women, but it's true for everyone, again, to, it's part of that soul journey to be able to go down and in. And sometimes depression is actually a call to go down and in, into the realms of the soul, into the ground of being that place. You know, there are times when we're just stripped bare and we like fall to our knees, or, you know, like flat on our face in the mud. You know, there are times that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways of being with that process that can actually put us more deeply in touch with our essence. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like if it goes, so the depression, that down and inward movement, is usually a call of the soul. And again, it's kind of an art to be able to cooperate with that.
Yeah.
And for me, that's where having studied and been involved in Jungian psychology, depth psychology, really came in handy, because they have a language for that. What they don't have very much is the embodiment aspect of it. And so they would actually bring me in. A lot of them are very open to what an embodied approach is. And so for a while, I traveled quite a bit through the Jungian community institutes, you know, all around. So depression is also when we've learned, for one reason or another, or, you know, the from our early childhood situations where we had to, you know, be safe and contain parts of ourselves, or parts that have been shamed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very common. And we all have control patterns. You know, we all do. You know, that as we grow and unfold, we shed the what is not needed anymore. And so a meditation practice is to help us to distinguish that. So when we have learned to control, or like tightly have a tight rein on ourselves in some way, or again, if something is just has not been allowed in the past, or we haven't been ready for it, those energies like go deep in, they're there, they don't go away. That's the deal. You know, we may think they're all gone, but no, once given a chance, when we're ready and when we have the resources for it, they will emerge. And meditation is classic. If you create a healthy space in meditation, those things will come up and need to come up so that they can be embraced, and we can get curious, and we can go deeper into what's underneath them. When they're suppressed, like, suppression, repression leads to depression.
Right. Depression, so, like a depressed spirit in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And often it's pathologized, like something's wrong with me. And medicated, and sometimes, in my opinion, too quickly, you know, because it actually, there's something else that's wanting to arise. But that's a delicate question.
When you say stuff comes up, and you know, the traditional thought of meditation is that you're letting go of what comes up, or not really doing much with what comes up. It's just sort of this awareness of it. I mean, do you have a particular practice with working with this arising of the shame or the feelings or the past, the emotions, as a way that you see as healthy? You know,
I do. I have many different practices that address that. You know, a big one, it would be anger, let's say, which has all kinds of tones, including up to rage and fury. You know, it's just, and you know, it may seem obvious, but again, sometimes it's not, that is a clue to our own fire, our own passion, our own vitality. When it arises, to have, once again, a creative way, particularly to embody and express, I have found is essential. And I went through that process myself personally.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And so I actually, and I learned so much from it, and also what I was carrying from you know, the parental legacy. We all right. have, you know, like what they were living, and both my parents, you know, were very fiery, for example, and it didn't end well. I'll just leave it at that.
Big surprise, yeah.
Yeah. So I developed a whole body of work called Moving Theater, and also Moving Theater of the Soul, that I taught for many years and in places like Esalen also. And now I'm not doing that specifically, but I you know, sneak it into everything else because it's so important. So creative ways, theatrical ways, you know, where you can step into the energy like a character, like an inner character, or you can do something that's sort of non-verbal with it, in addition to anything verbal, and sometimes telling stories and embodying the story is very helpful. But things like letting the breath itself become the expression of, you know, whatever the emotional tonality, or letting the breath expression change into vocalization, sound, you know, sound play, when approached with a certain awareness, is extremely liberating and extremely informative, and gives that energy a way to unfold and express and not have to be frozen and held tight. And then we have that vitality. It's like those pockets that have been holding this precious well of vitality. Mm-hmm. Has a chance, you know, often that's a kind of frozen. They have a chance to melt and move, and then they surge through the whole body, giving their gift of freedom, of energy, of power, of vitality. And then we savor all of the meditation then becomes to savor all of those sensations, feelings, and expanded self-perception and sense of more possibility and more choice.
So a key part of that seems to be the movement, the catharsis, the energy moving in some way. And you spoke about, you know, movement itself in the theater, yoga, voice, sound. That seems to be a versus total stillness and this kind of mental game of releasing.
Yeah, you're so right on with that. Mm. Absolutely, that's right. And of course, because, as I said, there's kind of a marriage within me between dance and meditation.
Right, they're, the body, yeah.
They're one continuum, and they inform each other. I'm making this gesture of my hands going back and forth. Yeah. Weaving together. So the embodiment is key. We can't just think our way out of things or try not to think our way out, you know, not to address something. It actually doesn't work. Some things we can soften with that, the actual experience of self-compassion and self-love, you know, like thoughts can have a texture, and how we come to meet ourselves can be harsh and poking and critical and caustic, and the pH is very bitter.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know, or it can be what I call a soft inner touch. And this is also like the complement to the empowerment of the more intense expressive practices. The complement to that is this: how do I meet myself with that compassionate, loving touch, actual, like the touch of awareness, the texture of awareness. And that way that that begins to create that healthy pH.
How do you do that? The softness of that touch internally.
Well, it is extremely helpful. For example, subtle, really delicate, subtle movement. Also, the power of the hands to be like the divine healer. Our hands can be as if representing that deep healing, loving quality, something sacred coming to meet. So just bringing the hands to one's face, or of course, you know, the classic, bringing one's hands to the heart center, you know, that touch, the actual touch, communicates really profoundly. And feeling that sense of being able to melt in general, to be held by the earth, to feel that there's an embrace all around, you know, even just the touch of the air can be like a little caress, or that more existential cosmic feeling of space welcoming all of who I am.
So there's ritual to it in a sense, right?
It's all one. It's all one fabric. It's profoundly what we would call spiritual and a direct experience, you see.
Yes.
So both Lauren and I encourage and invite and help people elicit their own intrinsic connection to the source of life, their own intimate connection to nature, to what we also call love's body, to the body of love. That is, you know, that feeling that we are always embraced. We are always actually part of. We are expressions of that primordial movement of love. That is that creative surge of life that has given birth to this whole mysterious universe and evolved into each of us as these unique expressions of that.
So after 46 years of inner work, you know, what's the edge that you're pressing up against that's your current edge?
Yeah. And in fact, you know, implied in your question is an understanding that there's an ever evolving.
Right. A precipice that never ends, perhaps.
Unfoldment. Here's the deal. Just forget about enlightenment. Just forget about the term. Just throw.
Very binary in a sense. Yeah.
And there's this also, you know, this we were talking about earlier, a great secret I like to say, in endarkenment. Really.
In endarkenment.
No final endpoint, no static perfection, you know, no ideals of this is what it means to know. And that each of us has a completely different journey. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some similarities, but more to the point is how do I sense that in this moment? Because, you know, particularly in an embodied approach, there's a sense of being informed continually. So for myself, one of my profound resources is the sense of space, spaciousness, and that includes a sense that I'm just in awe of all that we're discovering about the cosmos.
Right.
And, you know, and the vastness of space and the, you know, what is it? 2 trillion galaxies is their current estimate in this universe. And each of which has, you know, what, 500 billion stars or something insane. Yeah. It's just incomprehensible.
And that's just what we can see. Right, you know.
Yeah. And then the whole mystery about dark matter and dark energy.
Right. Or what's beyond all that. It's like your brain, stops computing.
And on multiverses, you know, it's so incomprehensible. We know so little, and yet everything that we do know is a source of absolute wonder. So I live in that place more and more, in a place of wonder. More and more, I always feel like I'm being called to savor. You know, that would be something that I map over with Lauren on, you know, to savor this precious moment. That's huge for me at this stage of life, you could say.
Yeah, let me ask you something about that. In that savoring, is there a desire, a sense of loss? Like, the savoring is up against this imminent sense of it's about to be gone, or it's always moving. And it's sort of like the bittersweetness of presence. I mean, presence is beautiful, but it also is like your awareness is inherently up against the other end of it, which is that then there's not presence.
Oh my gosh, you're making my whole skin tingle. You know, there's just such a surge of Shakti when you say that. Yes. Oh, and that is such a profound ongoing.
I don't know what to do with it. You know, it's like, I still want to savor. And even that thought itself makes me more present, like more here. But there's a pain in it of like, but then I don't know. It's really just my mind feeling the pain, thinking like something is going to be gone, because it can't sense, the mind itself is not able to go past that boundary of, just like the galaxy that we can see, it can't go beyond what it can see.
Well, I would say that it's very poignant. It's the whole thing is very poignant, and I don't mind. In fact, I like to live in a kind of not knowing. Like, there are a lot of theories about what happens after death, for example. Mm. You know, a lot of stories.
Yes, there are.
And I just somehow I'm like in the final breath. You know, I'll be open to any of them. Okay. You know, I'm happy to embrace whatever it is in that next, you know, whatever happens after that last breath. But I actually hold it all really lightly, because I prefer the immediacy. I prefer kind of being naked to the moment, and, you know, as much as I can. But therefore, that's I'm always practicing how naked to the moment, how receptive to the moment can I be? And it's, you know, just that continual stretch. So the poignancy, yeah, there's kind of a pain with that. And certainly if we've ever had a, you know, precious pet who's died, or certainly any close, you know, a friend or member of our family that we loved, or, you know, anybody that we love or anything that we love, even the loss of a, you know, even disappointment, you know, kind of brings that in. But there's, in those times, there's intimacy. And in intimacy, there's a relationship. In other words, here I am, you know, so like that dance between, I am an individual, and yet I am completely part of this larger body, and I am always in communion with that larger body, and we're all in this together. As I see you, Trevor, you know, can I open to the fact of your existence, to the miracle of who you are, to that surge of life, of creativity, of perception, of your unique gifts, your way, the way that you are right this minute. Like, I feel like we have this potential right in this minute to be like in that shocking, tender, liberating recognition. Oh my God, who are you? Wow. Wow. And it's all of it is right here in that moment. And if we look into the eyes of somebody that, like, we're intimately involved with, like, every, you know, when I more and more can let myself feel as I look at, you know, as I am, you know, embracing, you know, hugging Lauren skin to skin, or looking at, you know, just gazing at him and feeling who he is. And you know, we've been together a long time. So it's rich with many, many tonalities. And yes, awareness of in this realm, in this body, it's finite. And that, you know, no matter how big and cosmic and existential my depth of, you know, my roots are, it doesn't take that away, nor should it.
Right.
You know, we can get way cosmic and forget about and miss the moment. You know, miss the presence of somebody else.
Why do you think that we're here?
Say it again.
Why do you think this is, why are we doing this? Why are we incarnate? Why are we doing these journeys?
That is a big question. I mean, I'm not sure I have an answer to that, Trevor.
But a lot, it has something to do with sensing that experience, I suppose, that you're talking about. I mean, the experience itself is maybe that's all there is. I mean, the richness of that, right? The depth of it you're speaking to is this sort of infinite depth that you're saying is available at all moments, at all times, because where would it go? It's more just sort of peeling away something to whatever is covering your eyes or covering your heart, you know, whatever fog is in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, that for me to be talking about intimacy like this is like a big joke, because my, you know, and in a way completely understandable, because my early life, again, with my parents divorcing very early and then subsequent things that's happened, and I was kind of on my own, I made decisions early on. Okay, I'm not going to do what they did. And, you know, and very much unto myself, and okay, I can do this. And so when I met somebody like Lauren, where the call was obviously from the very first moment to, you know, sort of multidimensional resonance that we had. So the journey of opening to intimacy has been a big part of my path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's surprising to me, because I would have told you before that, or even 20 years ago or 15 years ago or something, that my path is about what is it to be embodied. You know, this curious thing that you're asking about, why are we here? Well, what is it to be embodied? What is it to embrace all of our energies? What is true freedom? You know, and I work quite a lot with women in their, what I call our spiritual empowerment and embodiment, soulful embodiment. And it's only recently that I woke up to the fact that, oh my God, it's about intimacy.
Yeah, I have been thinking lately a lot about, because I resonate with that too, and thinking about some of the real work, the higher level work that we do, how it is through relationship. And I don't just mean with partners, but obviously everyone we interface with in the world. You could even extend that to every being we interface with and the objects of the earth. And, you know, your relationship to yourself is the most primacy one, but definitely with your partner. Talk about a mirror and a complex situation, and one where you really have opportunities to learn and grow if you really want to. And I just started to think that that could be one of the biggest crucibles for self knowledge and realization and growth.
Oh, crucible it is. And, you know, in that, extremely powerful. And I think you could call it a fast track. of awakening. And that's where, that's why it's super important for us who are living a life of engagement and create, you know, like 21st century, this 21st century experience. And what is it? So those ancient practices always want to evolve and be adapted. That's
right. That's important.
Yeah. But that is not generally recognized. You know, we want to hold to something ancient. Mm-hmm. And so we take the value of that, but then we look at, okay, guess what? Women were never factored into that equation at all. And of course, early on when I realized that, I had, you know, like grumble, rah, 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 you know, a little fire and fury about that. But then I realized, so what I say to women is it's up to us. It is up to us to, you know, discover and articulate what a female-friendly approach is. And most practitioners that work, certainly that we have in our trainings and workshops, are actually women. And women, you know, bringing a woman's voice and embodied experience and, you know, all that that entails forward at this time on the planet with everything, you know, I feel like we're all like this kind of conversation that we're all in of helping to help, you know, catalyze and evolve what's happening in the body of humanity right now. So crucial. It's absolutely critical. And, you know, the possibility, the transformation that is happening is actually quite intense, but the polarities are also even more intense than ever.
Yes. Yeah, we see that on all spectrums.
Yeah. So bringing women into the equation, and what does it mean, again, for us to be fully expressed and fully embodied and in our spiritual empowerment, because that has, you know, just not been part of the equation. And also men, setting yourselves free to be the full spectrum of who you are, and, you know, shedding some of those old patriarchal models that we all have been at the effect of, you know, that old male control over dominator, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would suppose you'd see the Me Too movement as a bit of a symptom of that transformation, or do you see it as more of a reactive, I mean, we'll call it what you like. It's definitely a change. You know, it's an energy there that's wanting to move.
There is definitely, you know, a lot of these things, including that whole, the shadow energies have been obviously coming to the surface big time the last several years for obvious reasons, which I don't feel like stating.
But, does it start with a T? Or?
Yeah, it's a big one.
It's not Trevor, is it? All right.
Which is, again, like expressing something that's been latent, apparently.
Apparently, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Has it been?
Which I find, you know, initially it's like, what? Wait a minute. So, wait a minute. Let me find my train of thought again.
I was just asking you about the Me Too movement in general. Because I wanted to, I know you wrote a book about meditation for women, which is something
Secrets for Women.
Which is, you know, I'm curious, like, what's the secret? Or, you know, why is it only for women? Or what's the value there that, what's needed there that's been missing? Because you make a great point about how this lineage of teaching that's gone back for millennia has been a male patriarchy. That's just the way it was.
Yeah. I will answer your Me Too business, which is basically, again, it's good that these things are coming to the surface. And what I would want is for women to get the training or everybody to wake up to the whole situation. That's obvious. And I don't want some of the ways that it's happening or have happened in the past, that like there's very real abuse that has gone on,
mm-hmm.
and misuse of power toward women, and I mean, just, you know, that's unquestioned. It's mm-hmm. super. And at the same time, ultimately, what I would like women, us all, to feel is that sense of empowerment and moving out of the victim role. But that's not to discount the very real situations that have happened. But there's a way that I want women to claim just in themselves. And I think this is part of it. It's part of that journey of having the power, having the know, you know, having their know ready and clear, and their whole energy field is saying, like, you can't mess with me, kind of thing. That's one layer of it. But in Meditation Secrets for Women, there are actually 12 secrets, each that together make a mandala of what is needed for what I feel, like what I call our female energy ecology. You know, just as we care about the outer environment and the ecology and that balance, same too in our inner environment. And yes, it is true. Many of the secrets do apply to men, and I get, you know, emails and comments right. from men sometimes that they read right. it too. I mean, it's very comprehensive. It's just, it stands the test of time, I have to say. And I've worked really closely with groups of women for, you know, years with it. But a lot of it is what we're talking about, that many of the, speaking of, that the model of power in the world in the past has been a male model of, you know, success and what it means to be in the world and how do I be in the world and, you know, what are those values? And women can do that and have done that and are doing that. And often it's at a tremendous price of being cut off something deeply true and natural for themselves, something essential. So how can I, it's the 12 secrets represent that fullness, all of who we are.
Right, I see.
And that the embodiment and riding our rhythms, which are, you know, they're biological rhythms and physiological things that affect our experience that a man doesn't have. You know, there are some that are obviously apply to the human animal, no matter what shape or size or anything. But there are very specific things that are still true for women.
It's great that book's out there. So it definitely perked up my eyes and ears when I saw that. I was like, well, what are the secrets? You know, what about me?
Yeah. And what are the, you know, like there are traditionally male initiatory processes, male initiations.
Right.
And much of what we've been presented in the spiritual world has been from a kind of male initiatory model.
Mm.
And there's a whole female initiatory process that happens. And, you know, all of these happen naturally. So one of my big things is that we don't have to engineer our internal experience. We don't have to engineer our energy body. We don't have to conform to somebody else's map, for goodness sake. And we've got lots of maps that have been given to us, and that's great, you know, but the map is not the territory. Let's get inside and find out what is true for each of us individually and for women in particular to embrace. It's important to embrace our womanhood. It is. And there's a lot of shame about embracing our womanhood that still exists. Crazy.
And a lot of pushback. That's inherent.
A lot of pushback. That's correct. Yeah.
Misunderstanding maybe even what that is. Yeah. I don't know if you're open to it, but I'm feeling the desire to to have a little meditation.
Mm.
Would you be interested in kind of maybe guiding us through something, this, even if it's a few minutes, 5, 10, 3, whatever?
Mm. All right.
If you're open to that, I feel something wanting to be spoken.
Okay, beautiful. Well, I'm just grabbing my glass of water. And so we can start with a little salute to the water of life. I like to make little mini rituals of that whenever I can remember.
Yeah, we're like all water.
Yeah.
Talk about forgetting.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the major.
And that resonance with the waters of the planet and the waters of the, you know, that cosmic creation. All right. So here we are in this moment. And some of us naturally close our eyes, but that is not a requirement. Feeling your own presence right now. And how do you experience your own presence? One of the primary ways we know that we are alive. There are many ways. One of the primary ways is what we call breathing. And breath is a relationship. Breath does not exist by itself. It's not a thing. Breathing is an intimate relationship between your body and the body of nature. Continual exchange, continual receiving more deeply. So each inhalation is a kind of receiving, nourishment, support. Elements that help us to thrive, to be happy, to sustain us. Every exhalation is a release and also a giving back. We receive the oxygen from the green growing things on the planet and the forests and oceans. We receive their gift. Life-giving. And as we exhale, we quite literally release that carbon dioxide, which is their food. This body, in that continual communion with that larger field of life and love, intimate. And as such, you may feel your body as it's being held by the hug of the earth right now, no matter what position you're in, no matter what floor of a building you are on, your body knows this earth. And knows, in fact, the center of the earth. That mysterious force we call gravity. And that we can feel as well the space around us. Right where we are in this location, You might even savor the feeling of the air on the skin or light coming into the eyes or eyelids or a sense of color or shape of movement. And we can also feel that way that the Earth herself is embraced by this galaxy, the solar system, this galaxy, embraced by space itself, all around. Everything in relatedness, one dance of life. And at that birth, whew, that big bang that the Radiant Sutra says set the worlds in motion, that roar of joy that set the worlds in motion is reverberating in your body. And the space between all bodies. And that over all this time, this unfolding universe, this finding its way, expressing, becoming this earth, becoming these green growing things and all of the creatures, great and small, and becoming human beings, becoming us, becoming you. What a mystery. Life, love, embodying and expressing as you. Unique, unique. In all creation, and yet interrelated, interconnected, an essential part of this dance, this web of connection, this web of life that we are. And then there's a way of a gentle transition, becoming aware once again of your presence here now and your life as it is now. All that you care about, all that you're engaged in, all that matters to you. All your loved ones, all your creative endeavors. Celebrating and feeling as you begin to make that transition into this next moment. Remembering, staying in touch with yourself, intimate, at home in your own body, at home in this earth, at home in this cosmos, and opening to this miracle. Wow, I am alive. Wow, you are alive. Wow, who are you?
Thank you. Well, I love the idea of resting in the not knowing and at the same time celebrating all the knowing. And there's just that endless depth of the mystery, the endless precipice of our edge, or the illusion of an edge, maybe. But I really appreciate the offer for embodiment and the invitation just to be in it and recognizing the gift that that is. So,
you know, somewhere along the line, kind of right around, right before I met Lauren, actually, as I was sort of deconstructing the teachings that I had been given, you know, that we're all generally given, and this, the hierarchical model of spirituality and empowerment and what it, you know, what it meant, what it means, you know, as if it's a gradual, like step by step to get to that final perfection. And it's, and it's, and the gist of those, male monastic traditions that almost everything that we know about meditation came from. There's a feeling tone in it, at least how it's generally felt and interpreted, that it's about getting out of the body, transcending off the earth plane, you know, getting off of the wheel of life. And I was living in Santa Fe at the time, which is very, you know, powerful, a powerful sense of nature there. And, you know, this sort of harmonic between the primordial earth hum, powerful, primal, primordial, ancient, and, you know, sort of celestial harmony, you know, celestial chorus going on at the same time that you can see forever there. Why is everybody trying to get off the earth? You know, this is where it's at. And this human adventure, you know,
Well, no doubt the adventure is hard. But I often would, think to myself, if there was a God and the God said, I'm going to make this so that we can experience and learn, why wouldn't it be the most epic thing? It would be everything, which is exactly what it is. It could not be more crazy and epic and deep in all directions.
I love that.
So it's sort of like, well, of course it would be like this.
I love that. Yeah. Well, you know, one of my stories, you know, sort of the myth that, you know, as if I, it sort of does feel like I chose to be here. It feels that way. And that, like what I, as if I were saying, oh, just give it to me all, you know, just let me get down there. What is this human business? You know,
talk about just, fast track. Yeah.
Give it, you know, just let me, you know, I want to know what this human thing is and, you know, what's this embodiment and all of that. And turns out, you know, what is that for women in particular, but not exclusively, obviously, because, you know, just to say in case it's not obvious, I love male energy.
It's kind of obvious to me, but.
And this, you know, this way that we are co-creating, yes, Lauren and I, but you and I right now. And all of us, there are a lot of us who are actively, consciously co-creating this new paradigm. So, yeah, so as if I did sign on for the whole thing, and then there is that poignancy once again of actually, well, there's a much bigger picture going on here too that remains a mystery.
And, absolutely. That's why anyone who tells me they know what's going on, I'm instantly thinking like, oh boy, you know, I like that Tao Te Ching line about those who speak the truth don't know the truth because it can't be spoken, or something along those lines. But inside this wellness movement that's going on globally, it's a really interesting thing because no one really knows what's happening. We're all just sort of throwing different pieces of spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks and what we enjoy and what feels good and what helps and what doesn't. And we're really sharing stories and perhaps building a collective story. And within that, there's things that work for some and don't work for others, and some things that are maybe actually quite distracting and some things that aren't. But it's a matter of taste, really, because nobody knows. And that's one thing I like about music, is that it's a bit more trans-dimensional. Like, it's less literal, in a sense.
Yeah.
So it's less to argue with, in a way. It's like, well, it does things, and it's evocative, and it takes you places, but I'm not saying X equals Y. That's what's great about art, right? Like, it's
exactly.
just sort of celebrating exactly. the mystery, in a sense, at the same time as it's developing it.
But, yes. Well, you know, as a dancer, I also have said that next time around, I'd like to be a musician, because mm-hmm. music is exactly, you know, I've always had that sense about music, and as a, you know, even meditating to some music, subtle music. One of my favorites is David Parsons, who's from New Zealand, and he's got a wealth of music that does like all of the dimensions simultaneously. It's very atmospheric and speaks somehow to the subtle energy body for me.
Yeah, and cool.
But to express and be with that which can't actually be said in words.
Yes.
Should not be said in words, or is much more powerful when not said in words.
Amen. It's the poetry of life, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the gaze that you can share with a certain person is maybe the biggest gift. You know, those talk about savoring moments.
But, yeah. And that's why, you know, you were also speaking to individuality, and each of us, you know, we're all in this co-creation, but it's also going deeper and into individuality and into our own essence, you could say, what I like to say is our own essential nature, And what is it that helps to me at this point in my life to be in touch with that and to actually embody and express and give my gift from there? That is mine to do, mine to share.
That is the, you know, $50,000 question, I think, for everybody, is finding that purpose and how to express those unique gifts. And I might even argue that a lot of people who feel that depression what's connected in a sense to not sharing whatever it is that needs to be shared, or not being in touch with that uniqueness of your own journey. But there isn't one way to figure that out. That's why it's unique to you. But I totally agree that seems to be some kind of key that unlocks something for the spirit and for the person and for the world, probably.
Yeah, and the thing about it is it's up close, it's so up close and personal that I think when we try to find out, well, you know, like this sort of grand answer, like what is my life purpose, or what am I here for, what is my gift, that it can be like overwhelming and actually distracting from the information that's coming right here, right now, and small, simple movements.
Right.
And so learning how to honor those small, simple movements is, you know, makes it have integrity. Like
I love that. Yeah.
Integrity. You're close to yourself. You're one, you're not split off in a million different places or trying to fit into some ideal or some idea of what it means. And that way it just grows, and there's a natural upwelling and generosity of even really the simplest things I mean, I get a lot of mileage out of, you know, walking down the street and just having a little eye to eye, you know, smile with somebody.
It's the primacy of that felt experience is sort of everything. And it is ironic that today, on one hand, our felt experience and our empowerment is increasing. And at the same time, it's being devalued and taken away from us by distraction through the revolution of the iPhone, essentially. It's been 10 years now and the internet, but it's really the iPhone, and that changed the planet for better or worse. But at the same time, it's all about the individual getting the information themselves. It's your choice what you wish to eat. Every piece of information on the planet's in your pocket. And you're just in a sea of information that you can go any direction you want these days. And people like me, musicians, like I can put things out myself. There's less doorways in between me and you. And so it goes, like you said, it's all happening at once. I think you were speaking to that at the beginning. And really these conversations like the one we're having is just about exploring and noticing it and celebrating it and thinking about it and feeling it. And that's it. So, I mean, I appreciate the work you're doing, and I feel like there's lots we could talk about, and we should do it again sometime, you know, continue talking about this stuff. It's a meditation in itself.
I would love that, Trevor. Yeah. Ongoing conversation, ongoing connection, inquiry, experiments.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm grateful for this technology that makes it possible. Yeah. I love the ability to be in communication globally. I love it. I love the global communication. And then I'm deeply grateful that you have asked me to be here and that we've had this chance and get to know each other even better. And
yeah, it's been a real treat. How can people find you? I'll put it in the show notes, but what's the best way to get more into some of this, these books and your work and your retreats?
Thank you so much. I'm easy to find, actually. My website is my name, which is CamilleMaurine.com, CamilleMaurine.com. Mm-hmm. And also just Camille Maurine on Facebook is easy to find. And yes, Meditation Secrets for Women. Recommend to all females who are listening. And Lauren and I, of course, give meditation teacher training that will be starting up again in 2019. It's open for registration now, but we'll be putting out a lot more about that.
Very cool.
And we have retreats and workshops and trainings.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. So, and free stuff. Like if you sign up for our newsletter, you get a lot of gorgeous, juicy tips and, things to ponder.
Well, thanks for giving us this free stuff, and appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, and my pleasure.
Thank you so much to Camille Maurine. I really enjoyed that conversation, and I hope I'm blessed with the opportunity to talk to her again, because I know there would be so much more we could talk about. It was such a natural flow. Thank you, Camille. This music that you're hearing in the background is called Farm Song, and it is from the album Music to be Born to. It's an oldie but a goodie from a sound ceremony way back in the day. So I hope you enjoy that track. Please say hello, info@eastforest.org. That's where you can ask any questions or just your comments or your gripes or whatever you have to say to me. And like I said, I'd really appreciate it if you can do some reviews online. Scroll down there. Do it now. Do it now. All right. I'm going to sign out. Shout out to my homie in Breslautown, West Australia. Keep it real out there. Keep it west. Keep it way out there in Australia. Okay, keep walking your walk, folks. Don't take any shit. When you do, you gotta do it with grace.